So would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, I'm Jess Voice from Fear of Men.
I'm Mike from Fear of Men.
And I'm Daniel from Fear of Men.
So we've got 2011. We have a whole pile of singles. There were cassettes in the mix. There was the debut full length in 2014. There's art students. There's soundtracks for films. There's admiration in the middle of that. And somewhere it all turned into a band. I'm just going to go to the business stuff before we get to the fun stuff. You do all the things. I mean, we already covered the fact that you met, you know, art school, and then next thing you know, there was admiration for each other's music, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So amongst all these singles and the cassettes and everything, where was that moment that there was either label interest or that you suddenly said, you know, there's something here, we're going to do something with it other than just, you know, make music and like each other's stuff?
Well, it's been a very natural progression, because when Dan and I just made a couple of little demos, I think we sent them to just one little DIY label in our town, and they were just like, okay, great.
Oh yeah, we forgot to say Brighton.
We gotta
do Brighton.
And so that was Sexist Disgusting, who was just two guys who were around town that we didn't know, but we had friends in common and stuff like that. And then we had a show booked almost accidentally, and so then we had to make a live band and stuff, and so it just kind of snowballed, because there's so many different layers of labels that you can work with, and we're still in a kind of DIY world. K9 is a husband and wife duo who do it all out of their house in Brooklyn, so we're not into kind of a big thing. We like to keep control of things and know what we're doing, and so it just, the singles, we just kind of worked with a couple of different DIY people locally, and then K9 came in to help out as well.
I suppose that was the moment, really. It was when Leo emailed us from K9 after we released, I think, the Doldrums video or song, and he talked to us about that he wanted to work with us, and then we did that compilation, Early Fragments, talking yes. about pulling those singles together from the cassettes, and I suppose that's when we sort of, folded into, we were part of a label that had a bigger distribution, and so that kind of, I suppose, tipped the balance a bit.
I mean, and there's things with the UK music scene, sort of major labels email basically any band that's kind of putting anything out, but that was just something that wasn't right for us, and things like people wanting to release different singles, and so we just kind of didn't work with them, or just pushing to get edits of things as close to what our vision is as possible. And when you have to work with other people, that's always a difficult thing to communicate and to get the same level of kind of commitment. If we still had this kind of creative control, then it wouldn't be a problem for us, but we're kind of skeptical of that to some extent, I think.
I think it's also about the people you work with. I think that we are quite wary of people. We have a kind of a unit ourselves, and when we're in British music industry especially, I don't know what it's like over here, almost the first thing a band gets or is told to get is a lawyer and then a manager.
That hasn't changed since Clive Davis at Columbia back in the 1400s.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I suppose
that's an exact year, by the way.
And that's the thing. I suppose we wanted to go try and go things about things a different way, and not have to have a huge team of people telling us what to do. I think we'd rather just tell ourselves what to do and make our own mistakes and our own decisions.
I can read about you as dream pop, but then I can hear you talk about making the stage shake. When people like me come to you and say, describe your music, does it bother you? Do you care? And if so, tell me about that.
The only things that I don't really like are being called twee, because
twee is the most evil word in the English language, isn't it? Because I don't want to be that word. It just sounds like you're weak.
It feels very gendered, and it doesn't really feel very appropriate to the music we're actually making. I feel like we've kind of stepped away from the indie pop genre that we also were kind of. But to me, dream pop is kind of vague enough that I'm happy to sit there, because it doesn't mean so much really. But so we don't really think about genre a lot. We just think about what moves us and what we want to do. And like you said, with Spotify and just the internet opening everything up, I don't feel like genre is so relevant anymore.
For me, well, I think the music critic, and I understand why, but they have to try and put things in a box. Increasingly, I've found with some websites in particular that it has to fit within that box. Does it just fit within that box? And I just find within the sort of world of music we're making, that is quite limiting, because then people are potentially not looking to push themselves out of that genre.
But you spent a lot of thoughtfulness, and again, the process that you went through on this, so I have read, you know, is the combo punch of, you know, obviously writing solo, getting some things out, bouncing it off the appropriate human beings, then getting it out there live, seeing what it's going to feel like, if it's going to work, and then going back again. That's a pretty heavy-duty, really smart, well-thought-out process, because you really had an end game there, which is, I'm guessing this, that you wanted to do two things. One, you wanted it to really feel like you wanted it to feel, but two, you wanted it to, when you played it live, to be represented in such a way that you could pull it off and you could do it. Am I correct there?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely, we're kind of, I still feel like we could spend like many more months working on the record as well, though, like, just because from playing it more, there's now things that I think we'd go back and change. But that's just knowledge that we'll take into making our next record and things. So it's just like this kind of constant improving process that we're excited to build on.
So writing solo, this works for you because you are this repressed human being? See, it's going to come back at you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that I'm only truly comfortable in my own company, perhaps. And so I want to kind of get in touch with things that are not things that you'd maybe say every day, or not things that you can say flippantly. And it was an attempt to go a bit deeper in what I was saying and say it a little bit clearer than before, rather than hiding behind other people's words or kind of layers of metaphor and things like that. There's still different kind of imagery that I hide behind a little bit, but it's kind of, again, yeah, it's a progression.
So I'm going to ask everybody this, everybody except you now. So she comes out of hiding, and then what happens?
Well, say, for example, on the last record, the most recent one, Jess would usually have like a selection of demos that we would probably hear in the process anyway, but when we actually come in together physically in the room together, then like we'll work through things, and we kind of like specifically like instrument, with our instruments we'll like develop the songs, like chop and change things. There's certain things that people obviously feel a bit more precious about melodically and, you know, emotionally. And so then Dan and I, like this last record, we spent a lot of time sort of programming on computers, doing like the drum beats and all that kind of stuff. It was extra stuff that we hadn't really done before. It kind of took us out of the like band setting and into more of a computerized.
But making the sea change in the sound. So one of the words was more metallic textures. And it's funny, because as I was listening on the way here, I was like, yep, that I get it. I hear it. I know exactly where those are.
Yeah, we definitely know when we've got there. And that's why it takes an awful lot of time to write and record an album. There is a lot of thinking beforehand. And then there's a lot of thinking once we have the song. I mean, the main thing, I suppose, is if we're looking at genres, then dream pop, like Jess says, makes sense because it's broad enough. But I suppose, yes, we like pop music. Jess, a lot of her melodies are quite sort of fluid, and I think that if that kind of often pulls, like, is pulled in, isn't it, into kind of what a Fear of Men sort of song is, I feel like it can, sorry, go on.
Oh no, well, I was just, when in response to the question, I was thinking you kind of had a bit of a concept or a bit of a mission statement of what the record should be, and you kind of like, you almost like set me off on a direction of ways to think about songs, but then when that was filtered through my brain, it didn't really come back to you how you were expecting, and so it was kind of like finding a
happy medium,
yeah, or kind of tying together those ideas and just kind of letting it be the record that it wanted to be with both of those elements in it.
I think that what I was thinking was, is if you think about genres, I think post-punk was an interesting time in British music and some interesting bands that came from that. I was quite interested in Joy Division and having, if you listen to the mix, very separate.
Lots of layers.
Lots of layers, but you could hear each layer very, very clearly. And I was interested in that, but I was also interested in combining that with modern pop music and also sort of elements of shoegaze to see these quite disparate elements like shoegaze and post-punk. And that kind of naturally came together because the sort of drum lines that like me and Mike were kind of like initially working on like Loom, Mike's drumming style is quite kind of post-punk, a lot of sort of snare, and it's it's quite kind of almost brittle, and but then Jess's songs are often kind of, I suppose, like I was saying, maybe a bit more fluid, a little bit more dreamy, and so it's just about kind of colliding these worlds and finding ways to push each element against each other and still with that kind of pop sensibility. And I was imagining the other comparisons I would draw are between post-punk and sort of Joy Division drums. Think of those drums and then think about modern pop music in terms of modern forward-thinking hip-hop and R&B. For me, I think there's a way that those two sounds and sort of genres can be fused together in an interesting way because they both have quite hard-hitting elements. And so that's kind of what we're working towards. This album, for me, is like shifting the course and allowing us to do whatever we want, you know, going forward, as well as sort of working for us on its own merits. So.
But do you ever sit and talk about, oh, how big we are, how far we've made it? You know, is that ever a discussion in this band? And do you care? What's the motivation?
There's definitely, I mean, like when we played the Bowery Ballroom in New York, like 2 weeks ago or whatever, that was a moment of like, oh my God, we're here, we're headlining. This is a beautiful night. This is something we're really proud of. But
you don't wake up in the morning and say, after that you wake up in the morning and you're still you and don't say, okay, that means that we've now attained this thing in life.
No, I think that probably at every stage you get to, you kind of realize that it's actually all this progression of trying to get somewhere over your lifetime. But there's different things that you can achieve and there's different ways that you can measure it all. And we just want to make some more records and we just want to tour some more and we just want to have like full interesting lives while we're doing that. So that's kind of
And you don't have the big fat A&R person over you and all those people to push you.
Exactly, we push ourselves quite enough, I think, so we kind of like all just have different pressures within the band, but that's like that's healthy and that's what motivates us, and yeah, and we want that to come from within and from ourselves rather than from an outside source.
I invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside and songs by others in between.